Item 5 is a subdivision or rezoning at 159 to 175 Mayfair Avenue under file DASZ 42 of 2009. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Item 6, a conditional use at 161, 163, and 175 Mayfair Avenue under file DCU 102804 of 2010D. And Item 7, a variance at 161, 163, and 175 Mayfair Avenue under file DAV 102809 of 2010D. And here's the people registered.
Who's the applicant?
Okay. Let me just pick you. There's a couple in opposition. Let me just sort these out for you. A few and a couple in for information. The applicant is Yeah, I'm looking at a council.
Okay.
John Trenholz. I don't. You might want to ask Marshall Thompson.
Okay. Marsha Thompson. Don't want to speak. Okay. We don't know who the applicant is.
Well, he's not registered the name on here, so if you call out people in support, maybe one of them.
The applicant isn't there.
Okay.
I don't see it.
Ian Hughes.
Is that a people
in support?
In support. Okay.
Yeah.
Did I see
that? Tina LeClaire.
Okay. Is the applicant present? Did
Can you
fill
come
out
down?
One of these forms?
Yes.
What is your name?
Let me just quickly.
Okay.
Oh, here it is. Found it. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Come down.
Sorry. We'll call out the people again who are in support after he speaks. Yeah, just to make sure. Yeah, he's the applicant, so then we should ask after he speaks if people want to.
Okay. The applicant always speaks first, eh?
Yes,
here's the reason
that.
Why he's applying. Eh?
Why I'm applying?
Yeah.
I'm applying on behalf of our client, McDonald View Services. My name is John Trenholm. I'm with the LM Architectural Group. And I'll have Irma Chapman, who is the CEO of the MYS organization, to speak to introduce the project to yourselves. And we're prepared to answer any questions regarding the various components of the project. So,
okay.
Hello. McDonald Youth Services is 80 years old in this community. Do you want to ask the questions?
What is your name?
Irma Chapman.
Did
I'm
you
on there as information, yes.
Oh, as information? Okay, we're going to switch that to in support. If you're the applicant, you're in support.
Absolutely, yes.
There we go.
Okay, proceed.
McDonald Youth Services is a youth-serving organization that's been in this community for 80 years and moved in 1931 initially to a small site on Mayfair Avenue. Over time has acquired other properties, so now we stretch from 159 Mayfair to 175 Mayfair on four different properties. Our number of clients that we serve, not only in Winnipeg but throughout the province, has grown substantially from about 100 clients in 1970s to a little over 6,000 last year. Now, not all of those clients certainly come to our site, but the people who serve them, their managers, all those people are now scattered all over the city in rental locations because we don't have space in our current facility to just simply house all those people. We also are in buildings that are deteriorating. We're in houses that were built, some of them for families to live in and some for group home placement, and they just don't make for good offices. We can't do confidential therapy. You can hear in the next room all of those kinds of things. And if we plug in one more computer, we're going to fry the whole place, I'm afraid. Not because we don't meet fire regulations, it's just that, over time, you know, that buildings need to be kept up. And so the board of directors looked at our options. We looked at renovating what we currently have, upgrading to accommodate what we need. We looked at selling the property and moving out. And we looked at our longstanding involvement in that community and believe that we would like to stay in the community, which would need a new building to house all of our people. Having said that, we would need to amalgamate some of our lots, and that's what we're here to speak to. Our lot at 159 Mayfair contains a historic building, or a building with historic features, and we're not looking at including that lot for the renewal of our administrative and therapeutic building.
Okay. Any questions?
I don't know if it's that relevant, but I guess I'm a little wondering if you're building a brand new building, or how are you going to be able to provide the services while you're going through this process?
Oh, we're looking at the decanting plan for what we currently have on that property. We're looking at, and actually, because it's administrative space mostly, some programmatic space. We're looking to the main floor of 159 Mayfair is currently empty. Looking for some of that for our client needs. For administrative needs, we can go pretty much anywhere. But most of our people are, as I said, are the management of our foster home program. And we have about 200 foster homes throughout the province. The management of our group home programs are in two different locations, some in your constituency, and some are down St. Mary's Road for our Youth Emergency Crisis Stabilization Service. So they don't have to move. We want during the building. They can remain where they are. What we need to do is just take care of the few people that we do have on Mayfair Avenue right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Ask the people in support if they wish to speak now.
Now, I'll call out all these names. Please indicate if you want to speak or not speak.
So, in support.
In support. These are people in support. Tina LeClaire? No? Marcia Thompson? Ian Hughes?
No.
Okay. Is there anyone else in support whose name has not been called out? Seeing none.
Okay. Now in opposition, Alan Miller? Alan Miller?
Do you wish to speak? Okay. So no. We'll ask again. He said maybe. We'll ask again.
Reginald Clausen? Okay, he wants to speak. Arlene Clausen? No?
And that's for information, so we'll wait.
Okay.
And we'll ask him again after that gentleman speaks.
Okay.
try to be organized. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this. We moved to the Fort Rouge area in 1994 after purchasing the apartment block at 135 Mayfair Avenue. We've put a lot of effort into improving the appearance of our property. The personal time and money that we've expended has been significant. We view this area as our home. We sent our children to the local school, and we have no intention of leaving. We moved to this area with the intent of being one of those that would contribute to the downtown area. We don't belong to another community, as do the players involved in this, or the persons involved in this project. We watch them leave every evening. Our concern is that the very people who are bringing these changes to the community have no personal or vested interest in it.
That's for information.
I have some further concerns, and that has to do with the issue of how involved McDonald Youth Services has been in this community per se. Fort Rouge is, that part of Fort Rouge is a small triangle demarcated by Mayfair Avenue or the Assiniboine River, Main Street, and Harkness. It's made up mostly of transient persons, people who rent apartments in the area and then move on after months, sometimes years. I should note that there are families in the area that have been there for longer, but just because of the kind of people that live there, you won't hear a lot of opposition. You won't get the kind of response that you get from some of these communities, and that makes this community particularly vulnerable. That's why myself and Ilan are the only ones here. McDonald Youth Services is not starting this is not entering into this project alone. They have Manitoba Health behind them. They also have Marymount, I'm sorry, involved. They are in the community, but I don't feel that they are involved in the community. There's a local school that a lot of the local children go to. Most of these children are from the regional housing project across the street from us, and various apartments, and also people from on the other side of Donald Avenue. To date, in the last 16 years, I haven't seen a lot of evidence of McDonald Youth Services being involved in the community. They have failed to interact with us as neighbors. I took the time last week to walk around and find out if people in the community really knew what was going on. And apart from indifference, I did meet the odd person who cared but had no idea what was going on, because the only indication that there is something to change is the sign in front of their property. I think that there's a potential that the parties involved are failing to appreciate the fundamental change that this community could undergo. This is not just halfway house or something like that. We have Regina House on Mayfair Avenue. This requires a zoning change. It's a significant change. And it could, down the road, change things significantly for this community. So I have a question to the city. Does the city have a community plan that involves a supportive agenda that promotes community development? If this just proceeds, it suggests that it's the opposite, that there's more of a haphazard approach and a willingness, or rather willingness to allow a vulnerable community fail. I'd like to stress that, having personally grown up in a family with Aboriginal siblings, some of whom had alcohol fetal syndrome, and parents who were involved in offender rehab programs, that I'm familiar with the need for these kinds of programs. My question is, why does it have to be in this community? There are a lot of other places where this could happen. Our concern is not only that it will allow further expansion down the road of this facility once the zoning is changed, but that it will bring a shift of what's happening north of Portage in our direction. We already have some of that. You can see tagging all over the place. Some of it's gang tagging and some of it's just kids. But it's already here. We know what it's like to have inebriated people in our backyard, in our back entrance. I've had to drive people down to Main Street Project myself. I don't want to have to do that. And there may be assurances or reassurances that this would never happen, that there will always be control. But you can't accommodate for overcrowding downtown. If health sciences can't take somebody who's in goes turn sour, they're going to have to stay there. What about if somebody knows that their buddy is in there drying out? Is he going to hang around on the riverbank? Will we have to deal with that, or will somebody else deal with that? So these are our concerns. And I think while all a facility like this is necessary, I think that the McDonald Youth Services site is too small, and there's no buffer. It's not just us, but it's also the people on the west side of Donald Street. So again, I'd like to stress that I'm not opposed to change for McDonald Youth Services. I think they provide a good service. I'm opposed to the scope of the changes and the fear that the vested interests don't have the community interests in mind. If they do, I would encourage them to interact more with the community, recognize that the community, there may be a lot of indifference there, but whatever happens now could change that community in the future. And if there's nobody pushing back, then it could easily progress to a failed community. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Alan Middle.
That's okay. That's this one here.
Good evening. Just a few comments. We are talking about an 11-bed treatment center and two cells, for lack of a better word, a detention center. I do not think it should be there, or for that matter, in any residential area, either on the outskirts of the city, in a commercial area, where it does not affect residents. The area in question, the site, is fairly vulnerable as far as population. This is one. Now, the second, McDonald Youth Services wants to stay in the community, and I'm sure they are more than welcome. Do they have any thought of the treatment center and the detention center, what they will do to the community? Police cars bringing people in at all times of the day and night, ambulance coming, bringing or taking people, as is laid out in the proposal. They might be able to control the population. However, what does it do to the perception of the area where police cars bring detained people, and they are locked up over there, or they are picked up by ambulance to be taken to for medical care or hospital? Another concern that I have, McDonald Youth Services is a growing institution, and unfortunately we need it, and we need it to grow. What are the possible further expansions that McDonald Youth Services have for that area? Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Brian Hodgson for information.
I'll just quickly ask, is there anybody else in opposition that whose name has not been called out? Seeing none. Now it's for information.
Brian Hodgson for information.
He doesn't want to speak.
Doesn't want to speak.
So, okay. To the applicants.
So now we have the applicant with rebuttal. Will the applicant come forward? Now, you don't understand it's rebuttal. Only answer things that you want to rebut from the people in the opposition.
Yes, I have 3 points. Our involvement in the community, the police cars, ambulance, and the growing institution. Those were the 3 points I had. In terms of involvement in the community, I think that's been a challenge for us as well as for some of the neighbors. We have offered the community connections computer access from community into our area. We work with the youth. We run a lighthouse program at the school with the youth, and one of our frustrations actually has been that we have not had access to a gym or a place where those youth can gather in the summer so that we can do that year-round. We can only do that during school years, the school year. We participate in the Mayfair Family Resource Network. There's also a network over on the other side of Donald Street that's just called the Neighborhood Resource Council, but it's around the Mayfair place on the other side of Donald and River. So we're involved with families in the community. We're also a part of the Winnipeg Asset Building Project, where people can be referred to a program where they learn money management and then are able to save towards acquisition. That's in partnership not only with the United Way of Winnipeg, but also with the Assiniboine Credit Union. So in a variety of ways, we are involved very quietly in our neighborhood and take what opportunities we have. There used to be a neighborhood party that we all participated in, but so the people who led that have gone, and so there have been issues with any of the events that we have. We try to hold in our front yard, our 80th birthday party. Many of the neighbors arrived with their youth, with their children, and some very young in diapers children, and were able to participate both in the activities and the food and those kinds of things. With designing a new building, though, part of what was important if we were going to stay in the neighborhood were services for the community. And that included a gym, a multi-purpose room that would be available year-round with a kitchen attached to it so people could come in and prepare community meals. It would also include an Aboriginal cultural area for people in the neighborhood, anyone to use as long as they were willing to respect the cultural and sacred nature of that space. We also have a computer lab designed, and again, that's so that we can continue the community access and those kinds of pieces. And I'm sorry, our neighbors don't all know about those, and I think we tend to be more connected with the youth-serving parts of our neighborhood rather than some of the adults in our neighborhood, so that is a challenge for us in the future. Police cars and ambulance, I can't guarantee that. You're right. That's not something that we can offer that. I do know that we have those almost daily now, and for the most part, they've been respectful of our neighbors, and neighbor we share a drive with, and the other day as I was leaving, there was a police car sitting there. What we have done in the design of the new building is have a police entrance for 24 hours a day at the far end, as far away from our neighbors as we can on the west end of the building, so that it will minimize any disruption to our neighbors. And I understand that certainly police who are bringing youth to either our shelter or the youth addiction stabilization unit don't use their siren. There's no reason to use the siren at that point. Growing institution, two things. One, my biggest fear is that we will finish the building and need more space. But what we will likely have to do is build our building in two phases so that we can afford all of the building that we need to do. And our architects are well aware of this. In doing so, though, the plan would come forward as a plan with it, because it would be one building in the end, with, again, 159 Mayfair between us and our neighbors on the east side. Unless there are any questions.
Councilor Jabassi?
Thank you. I just have a couple quick questions. Do you see this as as the extent of an expansion that you're planning? I mean, is there any more intention to expand further in the future on this site?
On this site, quite frankly, I don't know that there would be space for any expansion on this site.
Okay. And I guess one of the issues is the type of services that you're bringing in the newer treatment center or whatever that was mentioned. Is that significantly different than what you're doing now in terms of the type of any safety concerns that you think might be relevant that, you know, I know people sometimes hear about the type of services and they go, oh no, this is unsafe for the neighborhood. Like, could you comment on those possible concerns?
We've operated a shelter where youth simply come for 12 years, and those aren't the youth we have difficulty with around our property. The Marymount Addiction Stabilization Unit has operated on our property for 5 years, and for many of our neighbors, they're simply unaware of it because we recognize that we are in a neighborhood, and the kinds of youth who are often coming to us for services may not have learned respectful behavior and do come with addictions issues, do come with mental health issues, do come with fetal alcohol disorder. And so the job of adults, and it's an expensive job, unfortunately, is to ensure their safety, to ensure the safety, and to ensure the safety of the public all around us. And so I think the lack of issues that we've had, and I hope that if any of our neighbors are experiencing difficulty, that they work with us around that. We've certainly had years of tagging on the west end of our building. It was like a new landscape for someone every weekend, it seemed like. And we finally went to putting a mural by the late Cody Starr on that end of the building. It's a beautiful mural. We're struggling with how we incorporate it into our new building, but that's what we have used to resolve our tagging issue at that point.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. What's that?
You've already spoken, have you not? You already spoke, so.
Yeah. Proceed, Councilor Jabassi.